appreciate all of you being here today. And if you were here last night, you know why we were so excited about Brother Johnny Daniels being with us. He shared his testimony last night. I know a little bit maybe what God might use him to do this morning. But from the very first time we spoke on the phone, and Luis, I have great confidence in Brother Luis and Nancy, and they loved him. He was their pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Puerto Rico. He's been a missionary, I believe, 48 years altogether in the islands. And God's used him in a wonderful, wonderful way. I know you're going to be blessed this morning. Will you make welcome this morning Pastor Johnny Daniels from Puerto Rico this morning to share with us? Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Well, if you hadn't felt like you hadn't been to church this morning, I don't know where you're at. But I've been to church already, amen. Before I introduce myself, I couldn't help but stand over a while ago when I was enjoying the music and people waving their hands and lifting their hands and saying, glory to God. And I thought about this little story about this, this guy grew up in a church like this, and where they shouted and thanked God and lifted their hands and waved their hankies and those things. And so he moved away, and he went to one of those churches where, well, you thought it was a funeral every service. You can figure out what happened. Well, his mother decided to go and visit him, and so he was worried that because his mother was one of those that would shout and raise her hand and say, glory to God, and he thought, well, she'll not embarrass me because there's nothing to shout about around here. Well, about halfway through the service, he saw her reach out her little hanky. He got worried. And then a little bit she said, well, glory. He couldn't figure out what in the world she's shouting about. She went ahead and had her shouting spell, and after they left the church, she said, Mom, I knew that you did shout, but in our church, I understand, but he said, what was you shouting about in our church? She said, honey, I was so happy I didn't have to come to this church every Sunday. I couldn't help but shout. I don't know where that come from, but it's out anyway. But anyway, it is a joy to be here. I thank you for allowing us to come, Pastor. And of course, tonight I'll share more a little bit about the ministry. I'm not going to talk much about it this morning for, you know, this is worship service. When all the attention brought the Lord, the music, my heart was blessed. But it has been a pleasure to be able to pastor Brother Lou and Sister Nancy for, well, about 15 years at our church. And you know, when people relocate to different parts of the country, not everywhere you go, you're going to find good Bible preaching churches. And you always pray they do. And I'm glad they did. So, Pastor, thank you for allowing us to come. Again, tonight, we'll share a little bit more about the ministry there and what God is doing. And I do appreciate you, Pastor, letting us come. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Ezekiel. And I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. My heart was blessed. Brother, of course, Brother Louis, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I mean, he brags on you. I mean, he loves his pastor. He loves his church. He loves his teacher. And he said, Pastor, you got to hear this. You got to hear that. I'm only going to be here one day, and I'm speaking both times. But what I got this morning, and then he's given me some tapes, or not tapes. I'm old, but I'm in some CDs of some of the messages of the pastor, and they blessed our hearts, and we appreciate that. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Really, my biological dad was in prison when I was born. My mother remarried a little bit later, and she married I mentioned last night, a sharecropper. And even then, they were not Christians. My dad did come to know the Lord, and he's with the Lord. My mother just went home to be with the Lord back in July. She was 96 years of age, and she's with the Lord now. But not growing up in a Christian home, you don't know much about the Bible. And I mean, seriously, when my wife and I come to know the Lord and give our life to the Lord, we go to church, and you know how pastors are. They'd get up and say, open your Bible, a certain portion of Scripture, and the time you found it, they'd already read their text and halfway through the sermon. I mean, I'd go and I'd get so embarrassed, so I would sit beside somebody and they'd open their Bible and I'd see about where they had theirs, and I'd open mine about like that and look very intelligent. I mean, we knew nothing about the Bible. They talked about Habakkuk. I thought they were talking about Habakkuk. That's something you smoke or chew. I didn't know anything about that. But I'm glad as you begin to read through the Bible, and we know this is God's Word. Now, I'm not a, I'm not a fanatic, but I believe in preservation as much as I believe in inspiration. And God has given us and preserved to us His holy word. And as you, as a person that grows up in a home where the Bible, I mean, in my home, seriously, the Bible is where you kept things you didn't want to lose or get disturbed. And that's what the Bible was kept for. It seemed like everybody had a family Bible, and ours where you put flowers, and ours where you put cards, things you don't want to lose, you put it in a Bible. That's the kind of home I grew up in. But as I begin to read the Word of God and understand some things about the Word of God, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked when I read some of the stories in the Bible. I mean, not very long, you begin reading, and here's one brother murders another brother. That's in the Word of God. You go a little further and you begin to read how that, here's a man and he's got some daughters. He flees Sodom and Gomorrah and he gets drunk and commits incest with his daughters. I was shocked at stories. Now, obviously, I've been preaching. I'm one of those been preaching for nearly 50 years. I have been preaching a little over 50 years, but as you read the Word of God, there's one thing that you'll find. It is the truth. It is God's inerrant, infallible Word. We know those things. But God doesn't cover up sin and change sin to make it not look sinful. Sin is sin, and God shows the results and the consequences of sin. And I know that God used men, and we know that He used over 40 agents in using and giving us the Word of God, but they were men that we know that was men of holy men that was moved upon. They didn't write what God thought. They wrote what God said. But in that, sometimes, even though they wrote what God said, but sometimes God lets us see a little glimpse of the writer. I'm sure, and maybe we get to heaven, we'll probably recognize David. He'll maybe playing a harp or singing a song. There's a lot of things, and I don't know if you read your Bible, and sometimes we read verses and we just read through them. This morning I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to read, and I never did give you the scripture, but I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to read out of Ezekiel chapter 24. And I'm sure that we've all read through the Bible several times, and sometimes God the Holy Spirit would just give us a little glimpse of His man. Now I know this is Mission Emphasis Month. Brother Louis brought in this morning, he showed me the first picture of your church. I think, if I remember correct, it's founded in 2005. Here we are in 2019, and this church is still faithful, still going on. That's only because there's been faithful men of God who stood in this pulpit, faithful men and women who have taught the classes and stayed true to the book, and faithful members that have stayed behind this church. And there's one thing all of us can do. Your mission outreach to the regions beyond is because of faithful people. And I want to read some verses this morning and talk to you. You know, most preachers have 2 points in the poem, and I don't have any points this morning, and I have no poems. But I want to read some scripture this morning, and if we just read the scripture and let the Holy Spirit speak to our heart, and we get a little glimpse of a man that God called in the ministry, a very unusual ministry. We'll say more about this in a moment. But His faithfulness. Listen as I begin reading in verse 15 of Ezekiel chapter 24. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold. Now let me stop there just for a moment. Look at me. When you find this word behold or something like verily, verily, it's almost like God said, now listen. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you knew they wasn't listening? You said, now listen, look at me, listen carefully. And really when you see that word, we ought to just stop and say, now He said, behold, or listen carefully and listen to what He says. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. That's His wife. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind thy tire thy head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake to the people in the morning. At evening, my wife died. And in the morning, I did as I was commanded. Aren't those solemn, gripping words? Father, we thank you this morning. It's been good to be here. My heart's been blessed just walking into this place that's dedicated to worship and teaching and preaching and proclaiming the gospel and reaching people and reaching to the regions beyond. I thank you, Lord, that you brought Brother Louis and Nancy to our church many years ago, and Lord, you brought them here, and you're in control of all things. We know that. And I thank you, Lord, for their love, and I thank you for the pastor allowing us to come and meet this people and the flock that you've placed over him. And Lord, there's one thing that I know that I've sensed since I've been here is faithful people. And I pray this morning that you'll help me to be a blessing, be an encouragement. Many of them may know what they have, and many of them may not know what they have here, because what they have here, not every place has it. So I pray this morning, Lord, you help us to be a blessing and be an encouragement to them and challenge all of our hearts as we think about Ezekiel and his faithfulness. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. In your minds, just so you'll understand a little bit of the setting, and of course, I'm sure that it's been taught here, Ezekiel was a prophet, but just to give you a little background, and so our minds would think according to the situation. Ezekiel's not in Israel. This is the time that Israel was taken, and Nebuchadnezzar moved in, and they destroyed the city, and they carried away captive, and many of the people that were there were destroyed. Now, many people believe that his dad was a priest. So in other words, in our terminology, he grew up as a preacher's kid. No doubt Ezekiel probably thought, and saw his parents killed, because they didn't take the old people into captivity. They took young people, and we know that, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other men. Of course, Jeremiah was in the captivity. He got to stay there, but Ezekiel was taken away. Now, many scholars, and I don't study genealogies, I read genealogies. In your mind, there's an implication that Ezekiel and his wife did not have any children. And I haven't studied the genealogies, but you read them, and you don't see any, and he begot this and went on. So in your mind, I want you to picture a young man who is in the ministry. God's called him, and we'll look at that in a few moments. And we know that Ezekiel's life and preaching there was probably about 22 years from the time he was in captivity and until this time that the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of his message, he tells us a little bit about his life and what happened. So here in your mind, here's a young couple. They've just maybe got married, if you would think with me. And all of a sudden, there's the invasion. His parents are killed. The destruction of Jerusalem takes place. And they're carried away over 500 miles. Into captivity, into Babylon. And then all of a sudden there's a call of God upon his life. And I'm sure you've heard messages from Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, where God calls him, as he's often referred to as the Son of Man. And God told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I want you to be a witness. I've called you to be a witness for me and stand at the gate. And Ezekiel, I want you to warn my people, as our brother was teaching in Sunday school, to turn away from their wickedness and turn back to God. And Ezekiel had a responsibility. In Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, God said, if you fail to warn the wicked, his blood will I require at thine hand. That's an awesome responsibility. Every time a man of God, or every time you go out and witness and God puts people in our path, and we have a responsibility to warn the wicked to turn from their wicked way. God said, Ezekiel, if you fail to warn the wicked to turn from his wicked way, and he dies in his wickedness, his blood will I require at thine hand. A call of God upon any person's life is an awesome call. It's a serious call, and it's a sobering call, because we will give an account to God if we're faithful to the calling of God upon our lives. But again, I want you to think about Ezekiel. Not only did he have that call upon him, and his job was not an easy job. he had to go to the gate and stand and lift up his voice as like Isaiah was given a command and lift up his voice like a trumpet and cry out and call the people of God back to repentance. That's why they were in captivity. That's why they were under judgment. And may I say, that's a lot like our country today. And there is a call and a responsibility that we are to lift up our voice and cry out against wickedness. That's a hard job, but I'll be honest with you. I've been in the island for over 45 years, and of course, Brother Louis and Sister Nancy have been members of our church, and I'll be honest with you, my job's pretty easy. I have people come by, and we have sometimes fellowships like we had last night, and of course, there's special things in Puerto Rico, and the ladies would fix this, and Pastor, did you get some of this, and Pastor, did you get some of that, and they wanted me to make sure they had me in mind when they fixed it, and you know how it is, Pastor. But Ezekiel's job wasn't like that. Matter of fact, I want you to notice the type of people that he preached to. If you would turn your Bible back to Ezekiel chapter 16, just a few pages. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 40, one verse, and listen to these words. The Bible said in verse 40, they shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. Now, Ezekiel, God said, Ezekiel, I want you to know, when you lift up your voice and you cry out and call the people to repentance, they'll stone thee. But turn your Bible, if you would, back to Ezekiel chapter 2. And here we see a little more of what God told Ezekiel that he would be facing. And again, remember the call upon him that he was called of God to be a mouthpiece for God. In Ezekiel chapter 2, and as I begin reading in verse 5, the Bible said, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know there have been a prophet among them. I want you to begin listening to verse 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. And then he describes how their words will be, though briars and thorns be with thee. And here's what God is saying. Have you ever heard the little statement, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me? How many of you know that's not true? Words can cut deeper than a stone or a knife could ever cut. And God is saying to Ezekiel, now Ezekiel, you will be my prophet. I want them to know there's been a prophet. They've not been without a voice calling them back to me unto repentance. But he said to him, Ezekiel, their words will be like briars. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I, of course, we did wintertime, you do your own hunting. We raised our own meat, went out and hunted our own meat, and all of us probably know what sawbriars are. They'll cut through anything. God is saying, Ezekiel, as you proclaim my word unto them, be not afraid of their words, though they cut like briars. And then he said, and thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. I'm sure we've all heard this. Boy, if looks could kill, I just got murdered. Now here's what God is saying to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I've called you to be my mouthpiece. I've called you. Now, he was 500 miles away from home, in a strange land, in a strange culture, in a strange language in many ways, but he called out to God's people to repent, and he had to call sin, sin. This is what God calls sin. But God said, Ezekiel, and Pastor, I'm sure you have this. People come by and say, I just saw something. Brother, That moved my heart. This man must have led you to the Lord, didn't he? Or influenced you? Huh? That's your father. Well, I knew there's a love there. And I'm sure many of you people, that because he preached the truth and you come to the understanding and God granted you repentance and faith in Christ, they've gone by and said, Pastor, I love you and thank you for preaching the truth to me. I mean, I have that. I've got notes. I keep notes that sometimes people, not all of them, the ones that's not signed, I don't keep. I don't get a lot of those, I get more of the other kind than his sign. Pastor, we love you and thank you for preaching the truth and thank you for this and thank you for that. Ezekiel didn't have that. All he had, humanly speaking, was a wife. And if you notice, as I read the verses back in Ezekiel chapter 24, when God was speaking to him, he said, I'll take the desire of thine eyes. This is the desire of my eyes. This lady right here is 55 years ago on January the 27th. She became my wife. 55 years. She's the desire of mine eyes. And Pastor, I know she's the desire of your eyes. And Brother Lou and Nancy have heard me say this. I say, my wife is the prettiest woman in the church. And somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't think she's the prettiest wife, woman in the church. I said, she's not your wife. Your wife ought to be the prettiest wife in the church. And here was Ezekiel. The only thing, humanly speaking, that he had to encourage him in life was his wife. As you read Ezekiel and you have those thoughts in your mind, but he was faithful to God. And in my mind, if I could this morning and try to, I could almost see Ezekiel as he was faithful to his post for over 22 years. Can you imagine in the morning as he got up and listen, as he goes and leaves, he's going to the gate. And as he goes, he knows that he has to preach and proclaim truth and call sin, sin, and call people to repentance. You know, we live in a day and a time, and I think you'll agree with me. For some reason, we've got this idea if we can change the name of sin, it doesn't seem to be so sinful. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, for example, today we call adultery an affair. Now, that doesn't sound bad. An affair. Isn't that sweet? God calls it adultery. Doesn't that sound ugly? Doesn't that sound vile? Doesn't that sound destructive? Adultery. That's what God calls it. We call it an affair. We've come to the point where we call maybe drunkenness, we call it a sickness. We ought to have compassion on people who have a sickness. But my question, if drunkenness is a sickness, why do we bottle it and sell it? That just don't make sense, does it? I mean, usually we try to spend millions of dollars to find a cure for disease, and here we are. Can you imagine going down at the store and say, I need a fifth of leukemia? Doesn't that sound stupid? But you know, drunkenness, when we call it sickness, and please don't take this wrong, I grew up, my dad went to prison because of drunkenness that led him to live a lifestyle, and it wasn't a sickness, it was a choice. We call homosexuality an alternate lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. Now listen, even, you know, sometimes, this book is an offensive book. You cannot preach in our pulpits today and preach this truth and be politically correct. It don't work. And we need to lift up our voice and we need to cry aloud. And Ezekiel did just that. He called sin, sin, and idolatry, idolatry. And he called the people to repent. And he didn't get amens like I got. He didn't get nods in the head from the heads like I got. He got stones. He got words that would cut like briars. He got looks that were intended to intimidate and silence his voice. He didn't get amen, preacher. He didn't get preach it, preacher. He got stones and words that cut and looks that were intimidating, but he was faithful to his post. Every day he would go. I can see almost at the end of the day, and you understand what the gate meant. That was where all of the crowds come politically and economically. And so that was his crowd that he preached to. And all day long, I can almost see him as somebody picks up a stone and throws it and hits him. And that's not, let me say this to you. Sometimes it's not just the lick of the stone that hurts, but it's the anger behind it. At the end of his day, he would come, start home. And I almost see him as he walked down the little path and turned into where his house was. And he got up to the porch and started to open the door. And somebody on the inside opened it. It was his wife. She knew his day. And I can almost imagine her as he walked in. And she began to comfort him. And he smells supper. Fried chicken. Sawmill gravy. Cathead biscuits. You said, how do you know that? It's my sermon. I can put in what I want to put in. Brother Louis took a picture last night of the spread that y'all had in the fellowship hall, and he sent it to my wife, and she texted me back, and I don't have my phone. He's got it, and it said, boy, those North Carolinas sure know how to cook. Don't try to eat it all. No, but she was his comfort. And she said words to him that only a wife could say to a comfort. Brother, I'm sure your wife has comforted you through the years. And all of us. I'm going to tell you something. If God's given you a wife that loves Him, thank God for that wife. I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen men lose their ministry because a wife wasn't behind them. And may I say, ladies, if God has given you a godly husband, encourage him. And it works both ways. I mean, I believe that he was an encourager to her, but I believe, humanly speaking, she was the encourager that God placed in his life. God knew the looks that he would get. And those looks wasn't just to Ezekiel. They were meant for God. God knew the words that would come to him, and those words that were spoken, they wasn't just spoken to Ezekiel. They were spoken to God. And I'm sure all of us, when we hear people use God's name in vain and blasphemous, yes, it hurts us, but it hurts us because they don't know our God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And that's why God even gives them the breath to say what they say, and it hurts. But Ezekiel was faithful because he had his wife. 22 years. But one day, if you remember the verse that I just read to you, may I read it again? God said, I take away from thee the desires of thine eyes with a stroke. And in my mind, I don't know how it happened. Maybe Ezekiel left that morning and I don't know. I just can almost imagine as he left that morning, he turned back and he looked at her and she was more beautiful probably that day in his eye than he'd ever been. But he goes and he preaches. He's faithful. He calls out sin. He names what God calls him to name it. But he knows at the end of the day, he's going home to a home where there's a wife that's his supporter and loves him. But this day he comes in. And I can almost see Ezekiel. You're all on live stream. I better stay up here. So. And Ezekiel, maybe this day's been harder. Every stone seemed like it had more anger behind it, and every word cut deeper than it ever cut before. You know, the devil knows how to discourage you. And Ezekiel comes home, and maybe that morning after Ezekiel left to go to his post, his wife goes out and she's hanging up some clothes. Something doesn't feel right. Maybe she feels a pain in her head, and she goes in the house and goes in the bedroom and lay down and think maybe it'll pass, but while she's there, she dies. Ezekiel comes home. He starts to open the door with anticipation she'll open it, but she didn't. He steps inside the door and there's a feeling of death. Maybe he looks for her. He looks outside. She's not there. He looks. He goes to the bedroom, and maybe there she lays on the bed. He walks over and sits down beside her, and he picks up her hands. They're not warm. They're cold. They're lifeless. Maybe it goes through his mind. She'll never take those hands and touch me again. Touches her lips. Maybe she could sing. I love to hear my wife sing. I've heard her sing with my daughters. And maybe she sang songs that were special to him. He'll never hear her sing again. He'll never hear her say, "I'm so thankful you're true to God's calling on your life. And I love you for doing what God called you to do." He'll never hear that. Now, you can read the verses, but I'm just going to tell you what happens. God says to Ezekiel in there, "Ezekiel, you can't mourn. You can't even cry. And you can't eat the bread of men." I can almost see, and I heard the pastor as he expressed his appreciation to this church who brought food in for the family who had lost a loved one. And it seems like it did because he said, "You can't eat the bread of men." Maybe that was part of their custom. And people came in when they heard that Ms. Ezekiel had died. And he sits there all night. And in the morning, the sun begins to come up. It was a custom to put sackcloth and not put on your feet, a sign of mourning and grief, and it was right. But Ezekiel, he gets up and he starts to put on his shoes and put on his cloak, and people are looking at him in amazement and saying, "Ezekiel, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to preach. I'm going to my post. God has called me, and God has commissioned me, and God has called me to call His people to repentance, and I've been called to preach, and preach I must, and preach I will. But Ezekiel, your wife just died. Don't you love her? Are you not going to mourn over her?" Only God in heaven knew how much He loved her. But Ezekiel had a post. And Ezekiel, if you'll notice again in the verse that I read, he said, "I spake to the people in the morning, and evening, my wife died. But in the morning, I did as I was commanded." That's faithfulness. Now, none of us in here will probably be called to do what God had called Ezekiel to do. But brother, God's called you to lead music this church. I don't know what we're all going to go through. There's one thing we can do is be faithful. Brother Louis shared all the different ministries that you all have in reaching the truckers. I like that. And the other ministries that you have, and so many. But listen, how does this church reach and fulfill all of these ministries? It takes faithful people. And sure, we're all going to face things. And how do you continue getting your mission outreach to the world from this church here in North Carolina? How do you do it? It takes faithful people. Your pastor asked to be passed out. We use the faith promise in our card, in our church. And he said, "Will you pray about being faithful, that we can continue to get the gospel out?" I know this is not much of a mission message, but yet at the same time, you could not do what you're doing if you wasn't faithful to your post. Whether it's Sunday school teaching, or whether it's just going out, and whether it's prayer, whatever the post is that God has placed you at. Listen, there's one thing all of us can do, and that's be faithful. I'm not going to share a story with you, but I think all of us have gone through some things. And the devil tried to get us to quit. But I see Ezekiel, as he said, "In the morning I spoke to the people. At evening my wife died. But in the morning I did as I was commanded." Father, we thank you this morning for the faithfulness of your servants down through the year. We thank you this morning, God, for faithful people. I'm sure we've all read biographies of men and women of God, the Amy Carmichaels, the Adonai Judsons, the Hudson Taylors, the David Livingstons, and others. I see people that I've met, Lord, that have just been faithful. The world may have never heard of them, but God, you know them. And Lord, there's one thing all of us can do. I can't sing. I'm not a smart man. But Lord, I know where you've called me. And I want to be faithful to my post. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I'm going to ask the pastor to come. I read a story many years ago, and I may not tell it exactly right, but you'll get the message in the story. There's a missionary years ago. He spent his life on the field. He was in Africa. It was time to come home for health reasons and different reasons, and so he boarded a ship and started back. On the ship, there was another man, President Theodore Roosevelt. They pulled into the harbor of New York City, and there was a band there, and they were playing and had signs, "Welcome home, Mr. President, welcome home." And as he walked down the gangplank, the bands played, the people greeted him, and a little while, the old missionary and his wife started off the boat. The pier was empty. Nobody was there to say welcome home. They felt a little sad in their heart and mind, and the Holy Spirit whispered to them, "You're not home yet." Child of God, I know this is the first time I've met most of you, but I could look at the history of this church, hear what God is using this local church to do, and you're doing what you're doing, staying true to this book and to the message because of faithful people. Be faithful and stay faithful. Father, we love you and thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that we've sensed in this service. And may you be honored in every decision that's made this morning. In Christ's name, Pastor.